Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Ada's Podcast. Today I'm joined with
me, Chelsea Hong,
and we're going to be talking about how to prepare for your tech interview. So we're just going to get straight into it. What is the first, I guess, kind of tip that you would give people, Chelsea?
Before we even jump into that, I'd say that like job hunting in general is such a long process and interviewing is just like one piece of it. So make sure that you kind of go into it with the mindset that it will take a long time. It will take a lot of effort, but don't get discouraged. Rejection is kind of part of the process. And also the amount of time that you prepare for job hunting in general will be a long time. It's honestly equivalent to a course load. It's so much. And if you frame it that way, then it kind of helps you manage your expectations and make sure that you know that it's not you. It's just the whole process that takes a lot of time and a lot of effort.
Mm-hmm. And like even pre-COVID, it's common for companies to fly you out and stuff. So it literally takes not only like an emotional toll, but like a physical toll on your body. Mm-hmm. So just, be completely prepared for that. But
All right. So now that we kind of have that out of the way, let's start with what interviews actually look like in the tech community. So interviews in general usually have about three phases. It depends again on like which company you're interviewing for, but the three phases usually land on behavioral, technical, and a portfolio portion.
Yeah. And so like, I guess we can start with like the behavioral part. And the first thing that we want to kind of stress for everyone is to do your research on the company. Because remember, they're like interviewing a lot of people. And if you come in knowing about the company, knowing about their values and their products, it shows, you know, that you've actually have a genuine interest in them. And so being prepared to answer a question like, why do you want to work at that company? And being able to follow that up with questions of your own will really help you stand out from like other candidates. Yeah. What are other like common behavioral questions that you've heard, Chelsea?
I would say behavioral questions in general are trying to get to know you. So things that are common are tell us about yourself. So the way that you answer that, like we said in our previous podcast here, is have your elevator pitch ready. But in that, kind of embed, like Helen said, the values and the story behind the company that you're interviewing with into your elevator pitch. So if they really care about people or culture, then make sure that that's something that you emphasize on your elevator pitch. Other things is like strengths and weaknesses and how you overcame certain obstacles. So making sure that you're actually answering these questions with concrete examples that you've had in your past experiences, either internship or volunteering or whatnot. And you can always answer these questions using the STAR method. So that stands for situation, task, action, and result. So the situation that happened, the task at hand, the action you took, and the direct result that followed from your actions. And this is just a great framework for any sort of story or situational question where it's really important to give the answer in a concrete example and showcasing that not only have you had experience overcoming obstacles, but you actually have the experience to analyze and be reflectful on that experience.
Yeah, 100%. And then I guess also too, like extracurriculars. So they're really trying to get to know you and who you are as a person and if you would be a great fit for the company overall. Mm-hmm. And so they really want to work with someone they can get along with and who's like values somewhat aligned with their own. So mentioning your extracurriculars, you know, student groups, your volunteering, whatnot, anything that you do outside of school, just so that they can get a better sense of, you know, your character.
Yeah. Like at the end of the day, the interviewers are people too, and they're looking for a person. Like they want to make sure that you're well-rounded, not only in your technical stuff, but also just like as a person. Like, do you actually go out to your community to help out? Are you willing to go the extra mile to like help people in general? So extracurriculars are a great way to showcase that, but also like that you have interests outside of technology. So even if you're doing something like soccer or like swimming or anything like that is so phenomenal because that will put you above like honestly CS students who just code all day.
Yes. Okay. So now moving to like the infamous portion of the interview, the technical part. How has your experience been, Chelsea?
Yeah. So I just want to say this is the part that is so scary and so daunting because basically it depends on what the company wants you to do. But the format is usually you'll be asked a question or a series of technical questions that test your coding. And you'll either be doing it on a real IDE or just like on whiteboard or paper. So that's kind of like the format of like what it would look like. But it's so scary because you're literally sitting across from like a senior developer or like the manager who eventually is like going to become your manager. And you have to answer their questions. It's so scary.
I hate it so much. Because like, you know, I think it's one thing when you're just like with your like your friends or whatever, trying to answer like algorithm type of questions. But it's another thing when you have like all these eyes on you, right? And they're analyzing like everything that you do and asking you questions, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so even if you study, like you will find yourself sometimes blinking or making those little mistakes. And it's just so important to realize, you know, not to penalize yourself as you're doing that, because it's completely normal, right? We're all going through that. We're all human. And they really are trying to see your problem solving skills and to see if you can make iterative coding decisions.
Yeah. I would say that some, like, that's really daunting, but some ways to kind of navigate through this is to talk through your solutions.
Yeah. So
even if you're just reading the question, kind of highlighting the key components of it and really showcasing that you're trying to digest the question and understand it. And then from there, when you're trying to solve the question, actually talking through your thought process, that helps a lot, because they will try and kind of direct you. But if they don't know what you're thinking, they don't know how to direct you. So talk through your solutions and ask questions.
Yeah. And I guess so, like, things to actually help you prepare for this portion, go to like LeetCode, HackerRank, or read books like Cracking the Code Interview, Elements of Programming. Do mock interviews. I think this is one of the most important parts. So with your friends or either using a free service like Pramp, just so you can get really used to talking through your solutions and like in a technical way.
And exposure to questions in general really helps. Like I would say when you're leak coding or hacker ranking, basically what you do is you're seeing like a bunch of different types of questions that could be asked and kind of extrapolate that, I guess, concept into other questions. So if you get something like an array question and you're trying to manipulate an array, think about like, okay, well, like how else would I do this using like a dictionary? Or how would I do this using like a hash table or whatever, right? Like try and kind of conceptualize the question and what is actually being asked, and then extrapolate that in and apply it to different scenarios too. I think that really is a great way to actively study, because you're not just doing questions, you're trying to predict questions as well.
Yeah, that's so true. Because like typically in an interview, right, they give you a question, you make your first like solution, but they're going to ask you questions on to improve what your solution is. They want to see if you can improve, you know, the time complexity of it, make it more efficient, etc. And so it's so good to be in that mindset, like Chelsea mentioned.
So I guess, what are some things that you would suggest them actually study for?
Yeah. So big notation, is important to do, because I think they will always, or they typically ask you what the time complexity of your solutions are and then ask you to improve on it. So knowing your big O notation is super important. There's data structures as well. So linked lists, single and doubly linked lists, trees. So think of like binary search trees or different algorithms too, like breadth first search, depth first search is super important to know. What are other ones? I guess stacks and queues, hash tables, dictionaries, things like that.
Yeah, definitely all those. Also knowing like really simple algorithms, like the sorting ones, like merge and quicksort, is really important. I know that it was things that were introduced to us like really early on in our degrees. Yeah. And you probably have never looked at it since, but I think it's really important to actually still familiarize yourself with it. Because if you're going into an interview and they ask you to implement like a quick sort, just like as a quick warm up, it would be kind of sad if you just didn't remember it. So like, of course, you can still ask them like, oh, is this what quicksort is? And they'll definitely answer you. But if you're completely blank on it, that would showcase that you aren't prepared. And you don't want that to be a case, especially if you're studying like hash tables and queues, but you just messed up on a simple array question. Oh man, that feels bad.
Yes, it does. It does. And yeah, I guess like, you know, interviews are really, sometimes they come to luck, right? Sometimes you get an easy question. Sometimes you don't. Right. Yeah. And you really have to just be prepared for the worst. So be prepared.
Yeah. Go into these kind of technical questions or technical questions with like a clear mind. Like, don't go in thinking that it's going to be hard or that it's going to be like a really bad situation. Go into it being like, okay, you prepared the best you could. You put in the time and the effort. You are also like, you did all your coursework too, you know, like you are a valuable and smart programmer. Like, it'll be fine. You just got to make sure that you are calm and it'll be fine.
And like, yeah, understand that like everybody kind of hates the technical portion of like code interviews. Like, you're not alone. And so even if you do get a hard question, you just have to do your best, right? Like navigate through it the best that you possibly can. And they really will, I think, value your problem solving skills and your attitude towards the question a lot. So
yeah. Like, a horror story of mine. I went to I would say two of the three technical interview questions that I've done, I literally had no idea how to solve it. And like, for me, just talking through the problem showed that I did actually have some sort of sense on how to work through problems, which is what they're trying to assess here. But because I wasn't familiar with certain things, it was really hard for me to actually solve it. But at the end of it, like, and we'll touch on questions later, but at the end of the interview, what I actually did was I asked the interviewer if they could walk through the question with me and solve it. So like, I think the important thing here is showcasing that you're willing to learn and you're willing to put in the effort to get better. And that's kind of what they're assessing.
Yeah, I guess like when I think about the interview that actually landed me a job, yeah, I didn't know how to answer it either. And it was just literally taking it one step at a time.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, taking a deep breath and being like, okay. And thinking out loud throughout like the whole process. And then like, as I was thinking out loud, they were steering me in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so these interviewers are people, they're trying to give you cues too. So making sure that when you talk to them, when you talk through the solution, they know what you're thinking, so they can steer you better as well.
Mm-hmm. And they see like, you know, your problem solving skills, and they see how like that you have some sort of knowledge, you know, on algorithms and different data structures you can use. And they're like, oh, this girl knows something. She just needs, you know, a little push into like one direction. So
exactly.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So I guess like that's the technical portion. Another part that is sometimes done is like showing off your portfolio or your side projects. So what was your experience with that, Chelsea?
So this portion, I've actually never done an interview with like a project. But I have heard some like really interesting stories about it. So why don't you talk through your experience first, and I'll try and add value where I can.
Okay, sure. Yeah, so I've had a couple of interviews that asked for like a side project, and I really like those interviews because, you know, when you do a technical coding question, it doesn't really reflect the work that you do on a day-to-day basis as a software developer. But when you show your like side project, that's something that, you know, is legitimate and can translate into an actual product in the real industry. And so I love to show off my projects because it shows my genuine interest in tech, right? So be prepared to like know, like go through your code in and out and to talk about, you know, the good parts of your project and also the bad. I think it's so important to kind of stress how you overcame different challenges, mm-hmm. because it just shows that you actually put in the work and you put in thought behind every decision that you made when you were creating this tech project.
I would say like a lot of times during these portions, you'll get asked why you use certain frameworks or made certain decisions. So make sure that, like Helen said, you know your code, but also why you made certain design decisions. I think one of the ones that my friend got asked was why he used Python over like JavaScript or whatever, because they're trying to think like, okay, what decisions or what thought process do you have when you made those decisions? Like, what is your design skill like at the moment? Because eventually what's going to happen is when you become a software developer and you move up the chain, like eventually you'll be making these types of decisions on a day-to-day basis. And mm-hmm. so they want to make sure that you're someone who at least has some idea as to why you make certain decisions, not just doing it because like that's what happened in class.
Yeah, 100%. Because yeah, they want to see if you're able to actually critically understand mm-hmm. yeah, why you made those certain decisions, why you chose that tech stack, if you tried venturing out into something new, mm-hmm. To learn other different technologies and stuff. So yeah, completely echo. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes honestly, the answer to why could be like you just wanted to try it or you wanted to learn a new technology. And that's completely fair. Like that will show that you're interested in learning and you want to go the extra mile to develop your skills.
Yeah. And then also to kind of an extension, but like when you're showing off your project, don't only show off your code, but show off the actual product. Go give an actual demo. And like when giving this demo, talk about, you know, the problem that you were trying to address and then go through the proposed solution and like the journey to that solution as well. This is your time to really have a conversation with the interviewer. Yeah. So
brag a little.
Brag. Yes. Don't be scared. Yeah.
And when I say brag, I don't mean just about the good things. Like also brag about the things that broke and how you fixed it. Because like, that is an accomplishment on its own. I think that we live in such a, like, not toxic, but I would say, like, bugs in general have such a bad connotation to them. And obviously, they do also, like, if it doesn't work properly, that sucks. But I think overcoming bugs and being able to solve the problem shows how much more growth your project gave you than if you just successfully did everything on the first go.
Yeah. And also, like, know that if there were no bugs, then there would be no jobs for software developers. So obviously, you know, we're all, we all create bugs, even the person that's interviewing you, right? It's just like, yeah. It's just natural. So we can all relate. And I think it would be a great icebreaker too, if you talk about the bugs that you created, and then, you know, we all can talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Honestly, the amount of passion I've talked about bugs is so much more than when I talk about something that just works, right? Like, and I think that any software developer, no matter how senior they are, can appreciate that kind of energy that you bring to it. Like, if I talked about how, like, this print statement didn't work because I forgot, like a certain thing or whatever, like, that is so much more mm-hmm. almost infectious compared to if I was like, oh yeah, everything just worked, you know?
Yes. And when, like, I'm listening, I'm learning, right? Because I'm like, dang, I'm not gonna do that. Thank you for letting me know.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that kind of like wraps up the portfolio. Kind of now leading into the last portion of the interview, where the interviewer kind of gives you space to ask questions. Chelsea, what are like, I mean, like, I think you really excelled in this portion, right? In this part.
Yeah, I would say that. So when the interviewer asks you if you have any questions for them, so I kind of touched on it before, but when I didn't know how to do certain questions on the technical portion, I genuinely just asked them the questions back. Other things too is that when you're asking questions to your interviewer, this is a really great place to showcase any sort of research you've done on the company. So yes. if the company has like values in like people or they care about like their community or whatever, right? Showcasing that, like, you've done the research on that and asking them how they actually do it. Ask them, like, okay, on a day-to-day basis in your life, like, as a software developer, how do you implement that kind of mission in the code that you write or in your everyday actions?
Yeah, because, like, also remember that you are interviewing the company as well to see if you want to work there in the first place. So, yeah, asking those type of questions, even about the culture, about, you know, the day-to-day lives of the actual people interviewing you and mm-hmm. why they love the company. Yeah, I think are important as well.
Yeah. All right. I think that was basically everything for the interview portion of job hunting. Again, if you have any questions that you want to bring up, join the ADIS team. join our Discord.
Yes, ADIS based Discord. You can check our Insta and our link tree, but I think it's just bit.ly/ADIS-base. We hope to see you there. We can roast your resumes. We're here for you.
Exactly. Cool. Just remember that you always have a network. Do you have any last things to talk about before we sign off, Helen?
I guess, you know, just be curious. Always do your best and just know that you literally have nothing to lose by doing these interviews. Even if you are rejected, you leave with new skills, you leave with more practice, and you definitely learn from the interview, right? Mm-hmm. So there's literally nothing that you can lose by doing these interviews. There's a little bit of pride. I know that's like, you lose a little bit of your pride, but at the end of the day, it's going to help you become a better interviewer or interviewee. And we only need one yes at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Honestly, good luck, everyone. It's such a hard process. I have a Trello board full of rejections. And it's like, when I get that one success, I will be happy. And I will truly have known that I worked for it. So
yes.
Same to you guys. Like, best of luck. You got this.
All right.
That's everything from us.
Adios.
Bye.
Bye.